Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
3:03. Yeah, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. I'm sorry. All this excitement. Ready! Ah, it's Monday. I know it's the beginning of a long week as well. Everybody's looking towards next week. Oh, we got Labor Day, right? You know what else Labor Day means? It means the neighborhood pools are closing down and kids really officially are back to school. There's no more pussyfooting around. Many of us had the proverbial and traditional kids are back to school mimosa last week, but there's still a handful of districts I know that are waiting for Labor Day, and then those parents will be able to celebrate. They'll be crushed. The little ones are gone, but they will be celebrating at around 9:05 in the morning, which is it's pretty cool if you ask me. We've got my buddy Carl Carlson joining us at 4:43. Now, you know Carl joins us every Monday afternoon at 4:33. We take a look at business, take a look at the markets, try and figure out, is your friendly old Uncle Jeff any closer to financial freedom? The answer, by the way, is yes. Oh, what a good meeting I had with Carl a couple of weeks ago. I walked away so happy. I really did. Did you know I own Tesla? I do. Not as many shares as that Elon guy, but I own some Tesla, and apparently we're doing really, really well. Can I take a moment here, like a point of personal privilege, and just throw a whole slew of congratulations over to our DEA friends, Drug Enforcement Administration guys, the guys over there on Green Court? They just got another huge conviction. So what does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? It means our kids are safer. It means that those very kids whose return to school we are celebrating have less of a chance of coming in contact with fentanyl or any of this other garbage that is polluting every community across America. Hopewell guy was sentenced to 16 years in prison for conspiracy to distribute and possess with the intent to distribute 5 kilos or more of cocaine throughout the Tri-Cities region. So Hopewell, Petersburg, Colonial Heights, you guys are safer right about now. And that's good. I mean, I don't need to read the names of the guys who got convicted. Suffice to say that the DEA once again did a great job. And I haven't seen it or heard it anywhere else. It doesn't mean it won't pop up. John Burkett will probably do something on it. Crime Insider over at CBS 6. I don't know if anybody else will, but I will, because I am not only proud of those guys, I am grateful to them. What else? Well, I'm taking a look at one or two things that are going on. I wanted to give you a piece of advice. I made the terrible error of watching some of the talking heads. Oh. Normally, I'll come in, you know the way this works, on a Monday morning, right? And I'll take a look at some of this stuff, kind of review the stuff. I don't want to ruin my Sunday watching this stuff. I got other things I have to do. Like this past Sunday, yes, belly button cleaning, very high on the list, and far more important than most of the prattle that was on. But I did happen to watch some of it. And in the midst of it, Heidi started talking about something. I can't tell you what she was talking about, but I knew I had to listen because she was talking. So I turned down the television set, the volume. And I had a conversation with her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is great. And out of the corner of my eye, I'm still watching the television. And I'm watching him going, man, that guy's eye is twitching. Oh, look at that. That guy's got like a throbbing vein in his head. That guy keeps playing. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I think I've hit on something. These are what in the poker world we would call tells. Right? If you're bluffing, if you want people to think you got a pair of aces and you don't, you bluff. Same thing, I suppose, with blackjack. I was just watching a blackjack documentary. And I don't know. There's way too much math. Oh, my gosh. Way too much math. So
poker, I can handle them. So I'm looking at him going, those are towels. They're not nearly as confident about this election as they want us to believe. I'm talking about the Democrats that are out there talking about this. They are not anywhere near as confident as they want you to believe. Now, there's always a little bravado. There's always a little huffing and puffing and all that stuff. But I am sitting here and I am telling you, we are heading in the right direction. You and I, who know that we'd like to save a country. It's a pretty heavy lift when you think about it. Kamala Harris, by the way, would like to change all the rules for the upcoming debates. You remember the last debate? Oh, yeah, you do. Of course we do, right? It's the one where Joe Biden was placed on the stage like a potted plant. And he did whatever he did, and then that was it. It was all over. So the Kamala Harris team says, well, you know, we got this debate coming up on September the 10th on ABC News. Remember now, President Trump said, I want to debate you, but I want to do it on Fox News. Nope, we're not going to appear on Fox. So instead of having three debates, I believe we will have two debates. Or will we have two debates? Well, I think we're going to have two debates. We may not. You know what? Weird thing is, we may wind up having no debates, because now the Harris team says they would like to change the way the microphones are handled. Do you remember when ABC News came out and said, here are the rules. All right, we've got the rules now. And when one of you guys is talking, we're turning off the other person's microphone and we're not having an audience and there can't be any notes. ABC News came up with all of these instructions. The Biden team came up with a whole bunch of instructions. By the way, the Biden team was the one that said, we want them to be standing. Sounds like a weird request from a guy who has difficulty with any sort of physical strength, but that was their point. They wanted to show him being able to stand up for an hour. So they're the ones, not the Trump campaign, despite what you may have thought. It was the Biden folks who said, yeah, it's got to be a standing thing. And you notice what President Trump has asked for? Nothing. He does not care. Microphones are turned on, they're turned off. Standing, sitting, notes, no, whatever you want, I'm there. There's absolutely, positively no fear from this guy. He's ready to roll. But now the Harris campaign says, okay, we want the microphones turned on, not muted, when somebody else is talking. What does that say to me? It says that their plan from the very beginning is to interrupt President Trump as much as possible while he's speaking. And it's for a reason. It's not because the vice president is somehow, some way going to have a wealth of knowledge, a treasure trove of information she has to just spew out there and correct the record. It's designed to poke at Donald Trump as much as possible because they want him to turn around and say something nasty to her or yell at her or whatever. That's why they want that. What does the Trump campaign say? Well, you have to wait for the Trump campaign. President Trump himself said, yeah, whatever. Whatever. You can have the mics muted. You can have the mics unmuted. I don't care. Whatever it is, I'm there. They have also requested that the two candidates be seated, not standing. So what's the point of that? Donald Trump, again, when he was asked, said, yeah, whatever you want, seated, standing on our heads, you know, juggling flaming chainsaws in the deep end of a pool, don't care, I'm there. So why would the Kamala Harris campaign want so much for the candidates to be seated? I think there's some physicality. I think that when you are looking at Donald Trump, you see a tall, strong guy, right? When you look at Kamala Harris when she's standing, it's a real contrast. But if you have both of them seated, it would seem to be a more equal situation, a more level playing field. All right. There are a couple of options. You could say, well, Kamala Harris is, I'm just spitballing here. She's 6 inches shorter than President Trump. All right, well, we have a step, she can stand on. It's like the one they use for George Snuffleupagus, because he's, what is he, like 4'2", 4'3", something about that? So it's the same sort of a thing. It's ABC. They'll have it there. So she would stand on that. Here's an argument I think they could make, and it's going to surprise you, but I think it might be legitimate. What if they say the vice president is going to be wearing heels? Right? I can't tell you what it's like to wear heels. I can tell from a first-hand basis. I can tell you secondhand that apparently it can be a real pain to wear heels for a long period of time, to stand wearing heels for an extended period of time. You know what? I'm giving them that one. I am. I think it's okay. She does have options, obviously. She could wear flat shoes like President Trump is going to be wearing, but all right, so maybe you give her that one. Here's the last piece, and this is the one we'll analyze just a moment from now. The Kamala Harris campaign is now saying they want notes.
Ooh.
That is disturbing. You and I are going to analyze it. If you want to jump ahead, you know how you can jump ahead. You're already with me on social media, right? I've already sent everything out there. If you're not with me on X, would you please make sure you're following Jeff Katz Show over on X, Jeff Katz Show over on X, and on Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. The Jeff Katz Show. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon, but now here's the good part of this. It is a Monday afternoon. However, it's National Dog Day. Oh! If you don't like dogs, there really is something wrong with you. I just have to share that. I would say I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but I want you to take it the wrong way. If you don't like dogs, there's something seriously wrong with you. Absolutely the most amazing creatures that God ever created, and far superior to people, right? I think it gives you a little glimpse into that whole creator thing. Here's my thinking on this, and I know we're going to talk about the cheat sheets for Kamala Harris. I'm going to do that in a moment, though, but I'm distracted by my senior executive producer, Pixie the Wonder Dog, 13 pounds, 3 teeth, and I think she's a sweetheart, but I was watching over the weekend. I'm just sort of walking around. Of course, Pixie is like my shadow. She's with me. Wherever I'm going, she's with me. But every once in a while, she makes her own decision. And she will decide, I don't want to go in there. And she'll plop down on the grass and just sort of roll on her back and enjoy the sun. Not a bad thing, right? She's on the grass. But every once in a while, she will also plop down in the driveway. Same sort of thing. And it's like, well, we got people coming and going in our home, right? There's me and there's Heidi. There's Joe and there's Emily. Julia's bus. I mean, there's stuff happening. We got a lot of deliveries. Good Lord. I really think the Amazon guy should just take up like a cot or something in the lower level because he's here all the time. But it would hurt her, right? She could be damaged severely. She's so small. And I thought, well, that's exactly the way that God looks at people, right? You love this creature. You're kind of responsible. I didn't make her, but you know what I'm saying? You're responsible for her. You want her to do the right things. You want to have a good life. You want to make sure she's got food and water. You want to take care of her. But there's a certain degree of free will, if you will. And sometimes you make the wrong decisions. I thought, well, there you go. It's my little reflection on National Dog Day. Kamala Harris wants to bring cheat sheets to the debate, which I find absolutely fascinating. Can you imagine? I don't mean note cards, because if they would have said, hey, she wants a couple of 3x5 cards or two pieces of writing paper that are blank so that she can take notes. You know, she's going to go back in and correct what President Trump said. That's what they would tell you that you're going to do. No, she wants to literally bring notes like you see from, what's her name? The not ready for primetime press secretary. she wants to come out with a briefing book. So that if there's a question, you go, oh, hang on a second, let me look that up for you. Hang on, let me see, page 7, no, that's loss in Afghanistan. Wait a minute. Yeah, here it is, Trump! And then get back to the question. And I thought, well, that's gutsy to even ask for that. But apparently even ABC News is saying we're not totally comfortable with that. Do you understand how afraid the left is of allowing Kamala Harris to actually speak freely? They know there's nothing there. I would almost say they know better than we do that there's nothing there. So what happens? I don't know. September the 10th is when this whole thing is supposed to take place. We'll see. We'll see. Quick reminder about our Chronic Care of Richmond text line. That is always available to you. 833-804-1140. Couple of texts coming in here. 804 says, Jeff, the poll for some fairly ridiculous university shows Kamala Harris up by 7 points, but they won't say how many Democrats versus Republicans is exampled. Yeah, I don't want anybody to start looking for sharp objects when you're hearing or reading or seeing about these polls and the rest of it. They're all designed to tell you, you might as well stay at home. Don't even bother. That's what they're designed to do. They're called push polls, right? And what it really means is they're pushing you in a certain direction. Mike from 757 says, hey, Jeff, why would anyone give ABC News any credibility as a fair host for the debates? Remember that so-called journalist who cried on the air when Hillary lost? Still there. How about that Democrat spokesperson who sits on panels who gave Hillary the questions before one debate? Still there. Then there is, of course, George Snuffleupagus, the Democrat operative. Forget it, Mike says. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm not saying you have to give them any credibility. I am saying that former President Trump said, I am happy to debate anywhere, anytime, whatever the rules are. That should say a lot. Now, you and I are already on that side. Ooh, those independents, right? It's always about a handful here, a handful there. That's who decides the election. Well, those people have to look at this, I would say, and think to themselves, well, he is ready to debate anywhere, anytime, any place, any rules, and she wants to bring cheat sheets. Tell me that doesn't speak to you. Oh, Jeremy's just reminded me, September the 10th, the day of this debate, you know who's going to be with us? Our old pal Bill O'Reilly. It has been a while since O'Reilly was here. You know why he's been absent for the last couple of months? Yeah, writing another book. Of course, another New York Times bestseller without question. But Bill O'Reilly is going to join us on September the 10th. Make sure you're here for that. My buddy John Reed is on the road. I think he's campaigning out there in Bristol. And he will be with us tomorrow at 6 a.m. John Mize, CEO, Americans United for Life, he's got some reactions to that Democrat Party convention. He's going to join us at 3:33. It is 3:27, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. I know, for all that Monday entails. By the way, weather is back to exactly what you and I would have expected from Central Virginia in August. We're well into the 90s, both temperature-wise and humidity-wise, and it's just kind of where it's going to be. We may get some showers rolling through a little bit later, which may or may not help us feel just a tad better. September the 10th, mark it on your calendar right now. Our old pal Bill O'Reilly is going to be back. He hasn't been here in a while because, of course, he's been off writing yet another book, but we'll talk about that and his take on this campaign. September the 10th, by the way, is scheduled to be a debate between former President Trump and current Vice President Kamala Harris. But the Harris campaign now says, well, we want to change the rules. We want to sit down. She should be able to bring what amounts to a briefing book with her. That just seems a little nuts to me. We'll see how it goes, though. Last week in Chicago, the Democrats held their national convention. And it was a lot of what you would have expected and some that even for them was just beyond the pale. For a plan,
getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Parenthood to have an abortion bus outside of that convention. I just don't know. Honestly, I didn't even know what to say, and I'm hoping that John Mize, who is the CEO for Americans United for Life, might have a little perspective on that. John, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me on this afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you again, and I just got to throw that out there to you. Even for folks who are on a different side of this than you are, than I am, having a bus with walk-in appointments like you were buying a ham and cheese sandwich, this is outrageous.
Yeah, Jeff, it was a significant overreach by Planned Parenthood. The unfortunate thing is they've done a very good job, Planned Parenthood, of pulling the wool over the eyes of the American public. They've made this issue about a woman and big government. We've completely removed the moral implications of killing an innocent human life through elective abortion, and then as a consequence to that, we see what has happened with a bus rolling into Chicago. Unfortunately, they made it into a circus. I mean, they had balloons and they had music vulnerable women are making. And what I saw in Chicago last week by Planned Parenthood was an absolute circus that trivializes the trauma that women face making these really hard decisions.
No worries at all. So all I was saying, John, I just want to get your perspective on this. I would find myself trying to be as sympathetic as possible for any woman who says, I was pushed into this, or, you know, I'm in such a point, this terrible thing happened to me. I was attacked, and I had to make this decision. Okay, we can certainly differ on that. But my perspective, John, is if you are in that situation and you want me to believe how terrible it is, then you're not having ice cream cones and funny hats and noisemakers, right?
Right. It diminishes the trauma that women experience when they've had a very difficult thing happen to them. And, either it's many women that have been coerced or forced or abused into having an abortion by a man or by a family member.
Yep.
It could be a woman who feels helpless and doesn't have the financial means to support a child. And unfortunately, Planned Parenthood has diminished that in the quest to maintain their business model, and that business model is predicated on aborting more children, unfortunately. It's absolutely an affront to everything that this country stands for, unfortunately.
It is absolutely tragic. John Mize is joining us. John's the CEO, Americans United for Life. John, we look at where we are, right? Everybody's talking about post-Roe and how does this develop out? How does it play out? We've heard President Trump say, hey, listen, it's up to the states. That's where it's going to be. He has said time and time again, he's not going to sign some sort of a national ban. And some of my friends who are pro-life as I am are saying, well, geez, I don't know if I'm really on board with that. What's your sense?
Yeah, so, we at Americans United for Life, we played an active role in the discussion as it related to policy and the platform. And unfortunately, we don't have popular public support for the pro-life movement right now. And a large part of that, Jeff, is because the other side has spent millions of dollars convincing the public that there is something to this vague notion of reproductive freedom. And again, we've removed the implications of killing a child from the debate.
Yeah.
But because we don't have popular public support, politicians are not going to fall in line. Politicians have to think about getting reelected.
Right.
And that is their job, is to focus on ways to get reelected. And unfortunately, because we don't have popular public support, and because the other side is spending so handsomely on convincing people that it's okay to kill children, we find ourselves in a position where politicians are increasingly backing away from taking a strong pro-life stance publicly, even potentially during the election season. My
prayer and my hope is that after the election season, the dust will settle, and if there is a pro-life friendly administration, that will be in a position to get more accomplished, as opposed to an administration that is abortion on demand for anyone and everyone.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. I think that it's painful and confusing for some people who are committed to whatever the issue is to think, oh my gosh, that person over there is not exactly saying exactly what I want him to say. And you certainly have been around the block enough as I am to say, look, we're in a campaign season. Things get changed.
Yep.
Platforms are sent this way or that way. But the reality in both cases here is that we have track records for each of these candidates. And at least for me, the track record for President Trump is solid enough. I don't have any qualms about casting my ballot for him again.
No, absolutely not. I think that that we'll find ourselves in a much stronger position as a pro-life movement with an administration that will likely be much friendlier. I feel very confident we'll have a seat at the table as it relates to policy and crafting policy in a Trump administration. And you know, that's important. Even if the steps that we take are smaller, and when I say smaller steps, it's defending the turf that we have at the national level, bans on funding for elective abortion. It is, hopefully tacking back what this current administration has done by opening the Veterans Administration up. For the first time ever, we now have federally funded abortions through the Veterans Administration. And so there will be some tacking back federally. But again, I feel like our battle right now, we have got to work on hearts and minds. We've got to convince people of the moral implications of this battle. And we have to figure out a way to, from a messaging perspective, to get people invested enough to think about this and what the moral implications are.
The moral implications are huge, and you're right. It's a challenge. It's a heavy lift. AUL, I know, is at the forefront of this. So for folks who are listening to this right now, John, saying, okay, I'd like to help get the message out there. I'd like to be part of setting the table. What's the best thing for them to do?
Yeah, there's three things, Jeff. The first, go to AUL.org, and we've got a ton of information on our website about the movement, about policies that we believe will be beneficial. AUL has been instrumental in every Supreme Court case that's come through Washington. We've got model legislation that's been adopted over 400 times in the states. That is very life-affirming. Go to our website, check us out. The second thing I would ask you to do is to support your local pregnancy center, your local pregnancy resource center, your local pregnancy health center. Those organizations are the boots on the ground. They are God's gift to the pro-life movement in the work that they do, helping women achieve motherhood without charging them anything. And then the third thing I'm going to ask the audience to do is to pray. Pray for the movement. Yeah. Pray for moms that are feeling vulnerable. Pray for hearts and minds to be changed in significant ways.
Love it. John, I appreciate you being here, my friend. Hope we get the chance to do it again soon.
Indeed, Jeff. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That is John Mize. He's the CEO over there at Americans United for Life. Oh, their website, AUL.org, AUL.org. It's an important topic because of what happened last week in Chicago. Now, for me personally, it's always been an important topic. You know that I've shared the story when we were just finding out what was going on with Julia. And then Heidi was pregnant with it turned out to be Joe. We didn't know who it was then. He just sort of looked like, a rutabaga or something. But when that doctor said to us, well, you know, with what's going on with your daughter. Oh, no, excuse me. With what's going on with the other one, if you want to, you know, do something about this, you got to act fast. And that's what blew me away. Because up until that point, I mean, I knew what I thought, but I wasn't as passionate about it. And then after that, I thought, wow, for this doctor, this is of no more consequence than, should I wear brown socks or black socks today? It just didn't matter because the other one, of course, was Julia. And this one turned out to be Joe. But it was just man, so unfeeling. So, it was brutal in a way. It was really brutal. Now, you know what it did, though? It didn't offer us anything that we were going to do, right? I mean, not an option for us as far as we were concerned. But it also, for me, man, it solidified what I believe and why I believe it and said, you know, you better tell more people about this stuff. So I do appreciate John taking a couple of moments to be here. Speaking of Johns, this is another John, my friend John Reed, who does our morning show starting at 6 a.m. He is down in Bristol. I think he's campaigning as part of his perhaps well-ballyhooed and rumored about run for lieutenant governor. I don't know, but if you are down on the south side, you should check him out. He is in Bristol, and he'll be broadcasting there tomorrow morning starting at 6. I know I'm going to try and tune in and listen to it. John always does a great show. Where was he last? Oh, he was out in Chicago. I forgot. He also, his work with the Virginia Council, they're bringing in some really solid people as part of their speaker series. And I did ask John if he would pop on. I don't know if we're going to get to it this week. I'll leave that up to Germ, but either this week or next week. But he's got a couple of folks who can really speak to the threats we're seeing. A woman who escaped from China and can really let us know that what we're hearing, what we're seeing, state control and state programs and centralized this and price controls, it doesn't work. And it never ends well. So we'll chat about that. Coming up at 4:33, Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial is going to be here. We'll take a look at the world of business, the economic stuff, and just how far along on the road to financial freedom is your friendly old Uncle Jeff. That's a good question, isn't it? Chronic Care of Richmond text line always available to you. When I say always, I mean always, 24/7, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 346, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 349, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Do they have a wind tunnel down in Bristol? That's where John is. I don't know. I'm listening to that going, wow. Bobby Kennedy delivered one of the best speeches I've ever heard. The other day, as he stood up and reminded everybody that he's a Democrat and said, I'm supporting Donald Trump, and here's why. He also talked about what MAGA means to him. Now, I posted the whole video, and I sent it out on X. If you're not with me over there, follow Jeff Katz Show. I did send it out over there on Jeff Katz Show, and yes, I got it up on Facebook, the Jeff Katz Show. He said, hey, listen, this is the American dream. That's what it is. It's the American dream. And you can call it MAGA. You can call it anything you want. It is about you. It is about me getting up in the morning and saying, okay, I got a chance. It's about Americans being healthy. That sounds a little weird, right? Well, we've got the best, blah, blah. Okay. Bobby Kennedy says, you better take a look at some of these numbers. We got a lot of sick Americans. And is that the result of Big Pharma? Is it the result of inoculations that turned out not to be inoculation? I don't know. But it has to be examined. We don't examine it, man. We're in a world of hurt. Is it 37 days now, 36 days since they handed Kamala Harris this nomination? And she still hasn't actually given a real interview, per se. She did sit down with her running mate to diss him about being a white guy, and he bought into that and said, oh yeah, I put mayonnaise on my tacos and whatever. Somebody caught her, right? It was some sort of news reporter, believe it or not, caught up with her. I don't know how, but they did. I want you to take a listen. This is cut number one.
On a different front, Axios this week reported that President Trump, if he gets a second term, will sort of dial back, for lack of a better term, DEI programs that the Biden administration has put in forth. I know you disagree with that. I obviously believe that you don't want him to get a second term. That said, if that does happen, what do you think that would do to race relations in this country?
Well, let me say we're going to win, so it's not going to happen. But I think that, listen, we today is actually, I believe, an anniversary in terms of Dr. King, right? And I was just in Selma, and we celebrated, acknowledged the 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. I think it's really important that we as Americans always embrace our history, the parts that we're proud of and the parts that we're not proud of but that we can't forget. And we should all agree that we should teach history, we should learn history if we're to ever have an accurate idea of where we want to go and where we don't want to go in the future. And that means also acknowledging the importance of diversity. It means acknowledging the importance of the fact that everyone should have equal opportunity to compete and equity. And then, of course, inclusion, that, you know, hey, let's look around the room and see who's not here, and did we leave the door open?
Okay, you'll pardon me when I ask, what the hell is she talking about?
Good grief.
Oh, man. If we're going to get all this word salad, I'm telling you, we need way bigger bowls and larger tongues. I think I'm going to go into the business of selling giant salad bowls at, say, the Jeff Katz Show. Is that not crazy? It's absurd. It's absurd. She's got no idea what she's saying. Is she smarter than I am? Of course she is. Look, Pixie the Wonder Dog, 13 pounds, 3 teeth, senior executive producer of this here little show. She's, I don't know, 10, 12, 11 years old, chihuahua. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and she's the only other person, only other living creature here. But she wants to be president, not Pixie. Kamala Harris wants to be president. Can I say this and not sound like a jerk? I don't think she's up for the job.
What a maroon.
That's kind of where we are, isn't it? It's wrong. It's just wrong. Now, I got a few more things that Jonathan Carl from ABC got absolutely roasted. Oh, my gosh. I almost felt sorry for him. I'll share that with you after the 4 o'clock news. Almost felt sorry for him. I did not, actually. But I came pretty close. It's right there on the line. We also, as you know, we've got a campaign of people to become the brand new mayor of the city of Richmond. I was downtown earlier today. Had to head over to the state senate office building, which is great. Brand new building, the General Assembly. Oh, it's beautiful. Nobody there. You know, they're not in session, I guess, so... But I was over there, so I had to pass City Hall. And I thought, there's nothing going on any of those floors inside of City Hall. And nothing is going to change. You've got the same collection of people running for mayor of the city as the past mayor, Dwight Jones, and the soon-to-be past mayor, LeVar Stoney. We haven't had a decent mayor in the city since Doug Wilder. And I know Doug's 92, or as I like to say, he's only 92. Why does he not come out of retirement, run for mayor, fix it, and then he could retire? Wouldn't that be cool? Have Doug Wilder back in there? Be nice. I think we're overdue, Germ. While I'm thinking out of it out loud, let's get Governor Wilder on for a couple of moments. We've got Bill O'Reilly coming up on September the 10th. Oh, tomorrow, fingers are crossed, toes are crossed, we've got KC from KC and the Sunshine Band dropping by. How cool is that? For me, it's kind of exciting because I got that guilty little pleasure of disco. Heidi and I have our disco clothes, and we're ready to go and see him in Doswell Meadow Event Park when he shows up on August the 31st. It is 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.